for removing a man's head because he couldn't join it back. Do you get the point I'm making? I'm going to bring out something here. You see, let me say something here quickly. There was something I began to develop last time. I need to say it again. I said that God sent Joseph. Can you remember that if you're around on Tuesday? I said God sent Joseph ahead, the Bible said in Psalm 105, into Egypt. That did God wake up? Well, did God wake Joseph up one day and say, Joseph, my son, thou shalt go to Egypt? The answer is no. No. God didn't wake him up and tell him like that. But we know that God sent him there. And we say, how did God send him there? What he did was to allow him choice-making occurrences. That is, times in which he had to make his choices. And as long as he was making the choices pleasing to God, God led him to the place, all right, of his destiny, of his calling. And I said that, let me say it again, that callings are usually discovered. They cannot be intellectually known ahead of time. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. A lot of us want to kneel down and pray until God speaks to us. You know, the problem is that we have listened to too many prophets. And they didn't lie to us. So just a lot of us got confused. Are you getting what I'm saying? I like an illustration somebody said some time ago, which is very true. First I was hearing it, and it really struck me. He said, you listen to preachers. And he said, I was believing God for money. I was believing God for money, and I needed money. And then someone just called me one day and said, Pastor, the Lord just said I should send you 1 million naira. And so, assuming someone like me, so I come and I preach. And I say, God is a faithful God. If you serve him faithfully, he will bless you. As an example, last week I was broke. I had some things to do. And I prayed and God sent me 1 million naira. And how did he send it? There was a brother I had blessed 3 years ago. And he had been blessed by my administration. So one day he woke up, God prospered him and he sent me 1 million. So you're a businessman. You're an engineer. Are you getting my point? You're a teacher. Whatever it is that you do, you're not a preacher. You follow what I'm saying? And so you now start praying, God. And what you're saying inside your heart is, God, you see? The way somebody sent Pastor Banky 1 million naira, somebody must send me 1 million naira. So when you go to church, you say, sow a seed for a supernatural breakthrough for this year. No problem. You remove your scarf, it's a seed. Your shirt is a seed. Your shokoto, seed. Trouser, seed. Is it bad? No, the seed is not bad. But you are planting it towards a particular harvest that somebody will send you 1 million naira. God says, sit down there. Idiot, you don't understand. Banky was doing his work and he reaped a harvest. You go and do your work. I don't know whether you get the point. And from your work, you will reap a harvest. So what I will do for you as a businessman, I will open a door of great business. Nobody's going to dash you $1 million. But you are going to make 10 million. I don't know whether you get the point. I will give you great ideas. You will invent something that people will be begging you to allow them reproduce that which you have invented. And they will pay you so much that you will be the one giving out 1 million naira. Look at you. That is, you think you're a preacher. Oh boy, you are not a preacher. They are the ones that get offering. Normal working people don't live by offerings. Oh, you don't get the point. They work and they earn wages. The preacher's offering is actually wages. I don't know whether you're getting the point. What am I going to say? People listen to a particular group of people and they get, you know, misdirected. You listen to a prophet and he said, God woke me up one night and said, go and do this. And you are waiting for God to wake you up. Listen to me, normal people, you know what wakes them up? Cock. Kukuruku in the morning. That is what wakes normal people up. If it's not cock, you know what wakes them up? Alarm bell. When you don't wake up, thank God for this day and age, GSM call will wake you up. Somebody, oh boy, you see they sleep. Very few people will go tap in the morning. I am an angel sent by God to come and talk to you about what? He said, but God spoke to Joseph. If your wife got pregnant suddenly and she claims that she's innocent, God needs to speak to you. I hope you are following my point. I mean, you're a young woman, very good girl. How do you think Mary will feel? Just they walk out one day, Bella just begin grow. She will think she's sick. What am I saying? Yes, God speaks to people that are not prophets occasionally when things are supposed to go completely off the normal course of events. Are you getting my point? I'm saying something. Please. I know this preaching is not very popular. And the reason is because people are generally very irresponsible. You know the reason why people believe in witches and curses? Because it makes it obvious. I mean, it gives them the impression that they are not responsible. If my business is doing poorly, it's not because I'm lazy. It's not because my accounting is bad. It's not because I am not diligent. It is because my grandmother was a female Dibia, and they placed a curse upon all our activities, and I'm the one suffering. It's not my fault. I was born like that. I don't know whether you get my point. That's why people believe all those things. Tell the truth and let the devil be ashamed. No. What do they want to do? They want to lie and blame somebody else. That's not their fault. It's the devil's work. Satan got behind me and pushed me. Do you follow my point? You know what he does? He tells people that nothing's wrong with you. You're okay the way you are. It's somebody else's trouble. I said, in the same manner, people want to see that. I've seen a man. Oh, God. There's somebody I'm thinking about. Anytime he sees you, Brother Ubong, God bless you. Can I see you, please? I will need like 1,000 naira. Can you help me? Then you give him. No problem. Oh, Brother Banky, how are you? God bless you. I will need like 600 naira. You give it to him. Then I say, bro, why don't you do something and earn some money? He said, God has not spoken to me about that one yet. What I'm telling you is not a joke. I didn't cook it up. As I'm talking to you now, I'm seeing the face. So, tell me, God spoke to you when you went to meet Ubong, called him and asked him for money. Did he? God spoke to you when you called your other brother, met him and asked him for money. No, he didn't. But when it's time for you to be responsible now, you need God to talk. What does that tell you? You don't want to do anything. Please, I'm bringing out something, all of things I'm saying. Callings are usually discovered as you exercise your gift diligently, as God gives you the opportunity. Shall I say it again? I will say it again. That you will discover your calling in life. Because remember, there's a difference between your gift. Thou didst form my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I said there are things that you can do naturally that God has poured grace upon your soul to be able to do them without as much effort as somebody else. Even though you might require training, but while you are being trained, you learn so much, much faster than other people because it's just natural to you. There's a book I saw on TV the other day. No, sorry, a man was being interviewed on Al Jazeera, one-on-one with Riz Khan. And I quickly wrote it down. I called Inka after, saying, Inka, please find me this book. The name just escaped me now because I wrote it down. So I just showed it to you. I said, okay, he'll look for it. The man is a PhD. All right, he has a PhD. And he was talking about behaviors. You know, I think he's a behavioral therapist or something. And he wrote a book or describing how to, you know, this was just last week. Earlier on this week. He was describing how to help your children develop properly. That you should watch out for things that are natural to them. He described a particular young man who won an Olympic gold medal in gymnastics. How did it happen? When he was a child, the parents noticed that this boy used to do something very strange. He used to walk on his hands. Everybody could walk on their feet. Is that okay? He would walk on his feet, and then after some time, he would turn around and walk on his hands. And that this boy would actually climb the stairs in their house on his hands. As a child, maybe like 5-year-old, that kind of thing. 6-year-old child. So the mother initially was worried, like, what is going on here? After some time, somebody said, why should you be worried? They took the boy and took him to a gymnastics center. By the time he was 16, he won an Olympic gold medal in gymnastics. You want to turn upside down? Why do it for free? I mean, do it. The boy won an Olympic gold medal. I watched that thing just this week. The man was going to illustrate what he wrote in that book. I'll go and research on that particular one. Okay, in fact, I've told him, please get me this book. I want to read it. But when I saw it, I said, oh God, the word of God is powerful. That is, there's nothing human beings can discover that God has not spoken about. I said, this man wrote a PhD thesis on this thing and wrote a book. I said, Pastor Banky has been teaching it for free for years. That thou didst form my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And wonderful are thy works. My soul knows it very well. That's what we're talking about, gifts. Do you get my point? That which you can do naturally. I'm still talking about calling. But what's a calling? He said, before there was yet any one of them, the days of my life were written in thy books. That is, where was I supposed to use my gifts? There's a place where God said, I must use my gifts. That's a calling. And I said, you will discover that calling as you conscientiously use your gifts. Pentecostals have deceived themselves into thinking that they will kneel down and pray until God tells them where. Like I said, because they listened to a few preachers, a few prophets here and there, and some people who had unique experiences, and they think that is the normal way. Listen, God only speaks like that when people have to do that which is completely out of normal. For example, Paul will preach in any Gentile city that the gospel had not been preached before him. Then he tried to enter one city. The Holy Spirit said, no. That's the only time the Holy Spirit will talk to him. Then he tried to enter another. The Holy Spirit said, no. Then he said, ah, what's going on here? Then he slept one night, and a man from Macedonia said in a dream, come over to Macedonia and come and help us. You know why he did that? Because Macedonia was out of the way. Do you get my point? That is, maybe the way I've been going about doing my ministry, for God to change the course of the things I'm doing drastically, he has to come through a supernatural method. But let me say it again, that's not the usual thing. What he does normally is this. He leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That is, as long as you constantly, continually, you know, I said I will say it again. As long as you constantly and continually exercise your gift while you walk in righteousness, you will discover the calling of your life for you. You will discover God's calling, I wanted to say, of your life. All right? God's calling over your life, you will discover it. For example, I said last time that Joseph never plotted to go into Egypt. He didn't plot it. Somebody flung him into Egypt. Let me say this to you again. That this is what God will do for you. Listen to this clearly. Number one, we've established the fact that you have a gift. Is that okay? Now that you know you have a gift, this is what God does with your gift. Every day, every once in a while, he opens a door for you to exercise your gift. That's what I'm talking about in detail. The exercise of your gift. The what? Exercise. Say it loud, please. The what? Exercise. The problem with people is that everything they want to do, they want to make money from it. That is where the problem starts. Listen, you know what you should do in life? Look for every opportunity to do what? Exercise your gift. If you realize it is for your good, I don't think you will turn it to this, you know, this covetousness that human beings have turned everything to. I see Chike in the gym every day. Well, not every day because I don't go every day. But every day I go there, he's there, which means he must be there every day. You know what he's carrying? Iron. Stone. Sweating. Running when he's not a sinner. Nobody's pursuing the man, but he's running. Why? The exercise is for his good. That's the point I'm coming to. The exercise is for what? His good. Oh, I forgot to mention to you, he paid the people money to allow him to exercise. I don't know whether I think I forgot to mention that, but did you notice it? That is, now I want to run. From police? No. From what? Nothing. Snake, they pursue you? No. You sin? No. Are there witches after you? No. You want to run? He says, for my good. Fine. To run, you pay money, and you deep hand the pocket, and you're running. Why? You pay to run. Why? Because it is what? For your good. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. But when we don't understand it, this is a typical, you know, satanic mentality, which is very common in Nigeria. They say, everybody come and jog. They say, oh, God, come. Let's talk. How much you go pay? Ah, the person said, what? I said, everybody come and jog. He said, I heard you now. Okay, each time we go around the football pitch, how much is it? You know, that's what we do sometimes. No, that's what we do. That we want to exercise our gift, which is for... No, let me tell you the truth. The exercise of your gift is for your own good. That's what I'm not raising all of these things. It's for what? Your own good. Every time you have the opportunity to exercise your gift, if necessary, pay for that opportunity. I remember many years ago, I would travel to go and preach on campus in Benin. A good friend of mine one day asked me, he said, "Banky, let's face the fact. It costs you money all the time to come like this." I said, "Yes." He said, "Are these people paying for it?" I said, "Well, no, not really. Well, if I ask them to, they would. You understand my point? But I didn't ask them to, and they felt I was doing them a favor. But like I told my friend, I said, I'm also doing myself a favor. I don't know whether you get the point. Yes, that I'm doing it for them, but I'm actually, as far as I was concerned, I was doing it for me. I remember the pastor of my church in Ado Ekiti, where I did my youth service. When I finished, where I did my housemanship, all right? My internship after I graduated from school. After I finished youth service, and I was now working in Lagos, anytime I'm on leave from Luth, where I was doing my postgraduate studies, I will go to the hospital, and to the church, and sometimes spend a full month. If I still remember a particular one, in which, now, from Lagos to the place is maybe like 4 hours journey. Then from that place to my home, maybe another 1.5 hours journey. I got there, stayed about 2 or 3 weeks, then went back to Lagos. My mother was surprised. In fact, there was a comment she passed after, which I was very, very angry. She felt that this boy chased woman come. He can't tell me any other thing that he came to do in this place. Because I didn't go home. But the fact was that I didn't chase anybody there at all. As God is my witness, I'm not lying to you. You know I won't lie to you now. What did I go to go and do? I will tell you. Tell you the truth. I either stayed in the pastor's house or stayed in some of my colleagues, the hospital quarters was nearby. I was staying in the place, which was just a stone throw from the church. But every morning, you know, the people would get up, have their baths and go out. I get up, have my baths and go to church. And I will sit down and be doing church work. And my duty was simple, prepare Bible studies. And I used to preach 3 times a week. The church had branches in the town. Before, a pastor would preach here and run and go and preach somewhere else. You know that kind of thing. But now I was around. So, Pastor Banky, you preach here? Yes, sir. I will preach there? Yes, sir. After that, you do this? Yes, sir. There are programs they want to do. Maybe some of the youth people, you know, the students in the fellowship, they have a program in the church. They have a program on campus. Pastor's supposed to go and preach. He will just look and say, Banky, I think you will do that one for me. Nothing spoiled. That's why I came. Because, you know, the services were 3 times a week. Tuesdays, Wednesday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. And they had 3 branches in that town at that time. So, you know, the work was plenty. I'll preach here on Tuesday, then lead Bible study, lead prayers in the other one on Thursday. And I will do that after 2, 3, or 4 weeks. I will pack. And as I'm leaving, say, let's pay for your transport. I say, no, sir, it's my pleasure. In fact, I forgot to mention, when I'm coming, I will have shared my salary into various parts. The one for the church, I will give him as I arrive. And give him his own personal present as I arrive. And I will now stay there and walk like a donkey for weeks and then go back home. Listen, I have heard too many God told me that. I said, if God told you that, I must be a European. And I don't mean European by birth, I mean European by color. There are things that I know God didn't tell somebody. But you see, if they tell you fast for 7 weeks, and then God will speak to you. If you go hungry for 7 weeks, God must speak. If he doesn't speak, you will hear your voice from anywhere you like. I mean, how can you be hungry for 7 weeks and see you won't hear anything? What kind of nonsense is that? The bad ones, they hear from evil spirits. But the good ones, they say, God says, you won't speak, I shall speak to myself. My son, you are telling yourself, you have fasted for 7 weeks and I shall bless you. This your life shall amount to something. You will never be average. Thank you very much, Lord. Thank you very much. You come and tell Pastor Banky, I say, you are an idiot. You should have just listened to one broadcast on radio. I will have told you that which you use 7 weeks to hear. Because you want to hear voices. Instead of you to take the gift, number one, remember, God is working in you to perfect the image of Christ. Then now said, I want to do 3 things through you. And based on what I plan to do, I've given you certain abilities. And you don't have to be a preacher. I think that's the most important thing I've said in all of the things I've been saying. Because Christians still think that preaching or assisting a preacher is the only thing that is a work of ministry. No, not necessarily. Listen, I said something a few sessions ago. I said, don't despise your gift. You hear what I said? Don't what? Despise your gift. There's a book I have recommended again and again. I don't know how many people have read it. The Happiest People on Earth by Demos Shakarian. The man tried his best. That's why I said exercise is the issue. He found out that he was very good at one thing. Organizing, organizing, and organizing. So he kept on organizing programs. Sometimes he would preach, but he realized that he didn't really know how to preach. So he started getting preachers to preach. And along the line, he was reading the Bible one day, and he discovered that it's what the Bible calls a ministry of helps. He said, that must be my ministry. But I said something earlier, that if you read this Romans chapter 12, you see that Paul kept on talking about different things. And I am persuaded that that list is not exhaustive. There are many gifts that are not written in there. And I can prove that to you. Technological gifts did not exist there. You know that? Because there was no technology the way we have it today. But are you telling me that God didn't... Listen. Computers were not born in hell. Satan doesn't have the capacity to invent a microchip. Hear it from me. Only God can invent the processor. Satan couldn't. He can't. It was not his idea. He doesn't know how to do it. He wasn't born to do it. The only person who could do it is God Almighty. And he placed the gifts for that inside the hearts of people. Are you getting my point? Charles Towns, I've quoted his story a lot of times. You know what they call laser beam? Laser beam. You see laser everywhere. You encounter laser every day. Every time you put in a CD player, put a CD into a CD player, that's laser you're dealing with. You know, you've opened your CD player, all right? You see that small lens there? It shoots and reads laser beams. Doctors use it in surgery. Engineers use different kinds of lasers to cut metals, different kind of things. The man won the John Templeton Award sometime, I think, in the late 90s or the early 2000s because he said that one day he said that prophets say they get inspiration. He said, the idea to invent the laser beam came to me also by inspiration. I sat one day on a park bench, and the idea came to my head. He said, you know, it's what they call an epiphany, you know, the way they say in English language, what Christians call a revelation. Do you understand? I just had the revelation, and then I went to the lab. Over the many years, they worked, he and his colleagues, and they came out with what they call the laser beam, which is blessing people till today. Listen to me, Satan couldn't have done that. Some of us think God only knows how to preach and compose praise songs. I just want to be where you are. That's why you think that when you get to heaven, we just wake up in the morning, you are the one leading praise today. Praise the Lord, oh, single, single. After 75,222 years, we change the tone again. This time around, we are giving God the African style. Praise the Lord. Don't praise them. John G. Lake said, I don't believe that. I believe there's a lot of work to do. That we have to develop. In fact, somebody like Dix thinks that heaven is a planet and there's work to do in every planet. But the point I'm making is that God does not only compose songs. Holy, holy, holy. If you go and investigate the meaning of the word holy, you discover that when metals say holy, all become pure. I don't know whether I get my point. Iron ore will become pure iron because somebody shouted holy. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. That is when you look at computing technology and you say holy, you make a 15-core processor. You think holy is only to come to church? I don't want to raise many preachers. Look, listen, in my life, God knows my plan is not to raise many preachers. In fact, I never prayed to God any of my children should be preachers. I never did. I suspect one or two of them may be. No, I think one may be a preacher. I think more than one of my children being a preacher is rather too much. What do I want them to be? I'll tell you. I want my first son, that's my desire. I pray the Lord confirms it. I want my first son to take after his mother. To be a business person. Because you're intelligent doesn't mean you must become a scientist. That's why the whole of the world... Look, let me ask you a question. Listen, how many times have science turned the world upside down? Is this economists that turned the world upside down? Maybe some of these scientists stop being scientists, they should have become economists. Something else we'll be experiencing now. You're getting the point I'm making. Yes. Become an economist. Teach men how to do business. Explain to them divine order concerning taxation and monetary policies. I like that. I like my second son to be a university professor. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you. Become a doctor, an engineer, a historian, whatever it is. Just be a university professor. Just get up in the morning and direct the lives of young people. Show them the path of righteousness in the academics. The only one of my son that I think will be a preacher, that smallest one, the guy is vicious. I have a feeling that he will take pleasure in chasing the devil down anywhere he can find him. His name is Victory. Something like a healing minister. Do you hear what I'm saying? But the point I'm making is that, listen, it's not just preaching. That's why I'm not so excited about somebody being a preacher. No, I'm not excited about it. We have so many preachers. So many. There is, in fact, Nigeria should have been saturated with the gospel, except a lot of our preaching, they are not pure. Let me say that before I close. A lot of preaching isn't pure. What do I mean when I say preaching is not pure? I can easily explain that to you. It means that people preach for different kinds of motives. Paul was in jail. There were those who wanted to show Paul that, yes, we will show you that you are in jail, but preaching will still go on. And that's what they were preaching. They didn't want Paul to be released, though. They were just preaching to make it pay. Say you think you're important. We'll show you that we can run this church without you. Carnegie will tell you a story. I've read his book a lot, and if you intend to be a preacher, please go and read that guy's book. His books, every one of them. Everyone you can lay hands on. If you want to be a preacher, and you have not read books like He Gave Gifts Unto Men, Ministry Gifts, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, Following God's Plan for Your Life, I really don't think you are serious yet. In this day and age, please, you must read those books. We'll tell you about preachers that will be in a meeting. And they will be laying hands on the sick. People will be getting healed. Blind will be seeing. All kinds of things will be working. And when they see a few miracles happen, they quickly bring the offering basket. They say, God has been so good. If you believe the Lord, quickly give the Lord a great offering. And the anointing will die. Die. God, please forgive me. Maybe I shouldn't say this again, but after today I'll stop. Let me just say it last time. There are those who show up. I brought a revelation today for your breakthrough. You know what he means? I came to church today with need for money. This revelation is to bring prosperity your way. What he's actually saying is that I hope that by the time I'm through today, every money you came to church with, I will have collected it, and the one you didn't come to church with, you will give me a check for it. Or at least a pledge. I'm not saying, look, listen, my friend. I think every believer should be responsible when it comes to giving. And there are those, we'll discuss a few examples, practical examples later, who their special job on earth is to give towards the propagation of the gospel of Christ. But apart from that, every believer should be responsible. But if you think that you go to church and your single offering will get you breakthrough, you're an idiot, complete one. Shall I say it again so that it will pain you? Anytime you are doing it, say, Pastor Bani called me an idiot. If you think you go to church and the one single offering you want to give that day, all your problems will be over. You're a goat. I've said it again and again. What you don't want to start, what you don't want to continue, don't start. And if something is good, do it even though nobody promises you a reward. Do you get the point? If something is good, one day I went somewhere and a church was doing a kind of a project and I know they had challenges and all of that. I told my wife, we went together. I said, baby, this is a good place. Oh, great work is going on. I said, Bishop Oyedepo said, your name shouldn't be absent. Let's do something. You can't be doing something good and I will pass through and I'll just say, oh, God bless you people. No. Even if I don't, that is, if I don't have money, I'll just put something small for envelope, drop it there. Because it's a good habit. I've told Christians again and again, cultivate a good habit. Stop being impulsive. That's why they hire mercenaries for you now. Yourself, in fact, it's you that caused it. You are too stingy and too selfish. That's why the mercenary is needed to machine the money out of your pocket. Are you getting the point I'm making? I know I'm digressing. But the point I'm making is that our preaching has not been pure. If you will step up the platform every time and preach the gospel only for the gospel's sake, and we'll preach it, all right, with anointed tongues, we'll fill this country with the knowledge of God in no time. Do you get my point? Listen, preach a pure gospel. There is a power that backs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to struggle. But I'll just digress to say that, all right? But the main thing I'm trying to explain is this. Listen, God wants to bless the body of Christ, listen to this, and transform a nation through you. And he didn't say, go and preach. If I read people say that, how many people can stand up and speak against injustice? Like an Ifa Oyemi, I said, that's his job, that's not mine. If your name is not Tunde Bakare, you abuse the president on TV, even God will close you down. Look, all you need to do is watch Tunde Bakare. You know that guy is anointed to do what he's doing. In the days of Abacha, you know how horrible Abacha could be on TV. Tunde Bakare will prophesy. And what used to amaze me that, why didn't NTA shut him down? Abacha did not even have to shoot him. You know that? All he needed to do was to instruct NTA to shut him down. Yet, they will be broadcasting this man nationwide as abusing the government, as it must be his job. Obasanjo was president. I watched this. Not somebody told me. He said, Obasanjo said he's born again. The man was president, though. This was national TV. I was watching this from Enugu. He was preaching in church in Lagos. He said he's born again. He said, I dare him to say publicly that I am not a member of Ogboni and I swear I will never preach this gospel again. And Obasanjo was president. I, Banky, won't try it. And believe me, he said, Pastor Banky, you are not bold. Listen, my friend, I preach in proportion to my faith. I'm telling you, the job where they don't send me, I know they do. Even if he says he's not a member of Ogboni, I will still preach. So why should I go and boast? Go and put yourself into unnecessary hassle. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, preach the promise of your faith. Don't do somebody else's job for him. Tunde Bakare is obviously a prophet. I'm telling you, I've heard his talk. God sent you to do this job. As for Banky, go and teach them how to succeed, not how to abuse the president. Therefore, I don't do more than that. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What am I saying? That each person has an assignment. Is that okay? And you will discover your real assignment. Not just because God spoke to you. He could. He might. He might one day. It's possible. I believe one or two or three people here will dream one day and the Lord will appear through an angel and give them specific instructions either concerning who to marry or where to walk, where to go, which country to go to. Because there are those who haven't heard me preach who will swear they will never leave Nigeria. You know that? Or God will say, no. Your assignment is somewhere in Europe. Your assignment is somewhere in East Africa. There's one of you I want to send to Asia. I know Banky has taught you that, listen, God can bless you anywhere. That's what he said. God can bless you anywhere. Now, I want to bless you in Asia. Follow me. But having heard certain kinds of gospel, he knows you won't take a step. Therefore, listen, one day you will dream. And an angel will say, see you in Bangkok. That's the last you will hear. And then one day you come and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I say, what's happening? I'm going to Bangkok. And I will bless you, pray with you, lay hands on you, pour oil. In fact, I'm going to buy oil. I'm serious. I'm not joking about that. I'm going to buy. I'm a preacher. I should have oil. I'm going to get oil. I'll keep it. I will pour a whole bottle on your head that you might prosper where you are going. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? As you exercise your gifts, however, that's how you will walk into the calling of God for your life. I hope you've gotten the point. Please don't forget, let me just add this to it. Every day, opportunities are passing by you every day. Not to make money. Now, listen to that. Or let me put it like this. Not necessarily to make money. But to do what? Exercise your gift. Don't let those opportunities pass you by. It's your passport to greatness. It's your passport to fulfillment. It's your passport to prosperity. I hope you get the point. All right, let us give the Lord thanks.